Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Bad Times Good Stories podcast. My name is Joe Flanders, and I am coming at you from the Los Angeles courthouse parking structure, because I have to, I don't think I have to appear in court, at least I don't think I have to. I got pulled over for only having one parking, or one license plate on my car, because I thought that's all that I was given. And you gotta have two license plates when you're driving. But I figured, well, it's a lease. Who knows? Maybe there's just one. So I got the ticket, went to the DMV to get replacement plates, talked to the guy, showed him my license plate. He goes, oh, no, there's two. They're just stuck together. So I've been driving around with two license plates, but they were stuck together. And he assured me that I'm not the first person to do that, but I think he might have just been being nice. So, anyway, gonna go into court now and plead my case. I don't know. Anyway, I'm excited. Today on the show, we have the comedian Vanessa Johnston, who is awesome. She's really funny, really talented. And on our episode, she opens up about having a schizophrenic mother. Her mom is still dealing with it, but the good news is that medication has gotten to the point where now she's good at least half the time, which was not the case for Vanessa when she was growing up. And she talks about kind of having an absent dad who she's still very close with, but from the sounds of things, he wasn't really around much as a kid for her. And her mom was just sort of, unfortunately, very unbalanced. And so we talk about that, and we find some ways to laugh about it, but overall, it's a pretty harrowing story that she had, and, you know, she was really the woman of the house at age seven, making meals for her and her siblings and all that good stuff. But we also talk about when Vanessa was crowned Miss Minnesota without even really... She signed up for it, ironically, and ended up winning the whole thing. And so we talk about that and a bunch of other stuff. It's a really fun episode. Well, fun may not be the right word, but I think it's a very good episode. And I really appreciate Vanessa opening up and talking about all of it. It's not something that she's done too much before, she told me. But who knows, maybe after this she'll be able to talk about it more on stage where she's performing and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I hope you enjoy it. If you do enjoy it, give us that 5 stars on iTunes. It'd be greatly appreciated. And check out badtimesgoodstoriespod.com. where there's a link to support the show and me on Patreon. I'll write you a handwritten thank you note. So if you really like the show, even if it's just a couple bucks a month, it really helps me and my producer Chris so that we're not losing money doing the show that we absolutely love doing. If you have a bad time that would make a good story, email me at badtimesgoodstoriespodcast@gmail.com. That's all I've got for now. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Vanessa Johnston.
I don't know if your mic's on. I can't hear it. Oh, wait. Can I hear your mic? I can hear you just fine.
Hello.
Your mic's not on.
Oh, well, I got the levels here.
Is it good? Okay, yeah. Good. I just want to make sure that was on. I don't need to hear you. I mean, I can hear you fine. Right. I can hear you. I just want to make sure you're, like, we record this whole thing and your mic was off. That'd be kind of...
That would really suck.
Fucking dope for me, bad for you.
Yeah, it'd just be one side of a conversation.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is how I like it, but... yeah.
Then I would just go back and listen and try and ADR random questions that don't make sense to what you say.
That's funny, dude.
Yeah. Maybe I should start doing that. Just totally fuck with guests. I'm like, that's not the conversation.
You're like talking about like soup and they're like, so my father was an alcoholic.
Yeah,
and you're
exactly.
Like, so how do you like peas in your carrots? And he's like, and then he used to beat me. And we're like, oh yeah. Emeril Lagasse is such an asshole.
Yeah. Nothing makes sense. That could be fun.
We're going, right? We're recording. What's up, dude?
This is the gold.
I feel like I'm hosting your podcast.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I appreciate you
guys, welcome to
bringing me on.
Welcome to Good Times with Joe Flanders and Vanessa Johnston. Mostly me because my microphone's on. And
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be on your show today.
Yeah, you know, I mean, We have an eight ball here. I'm going to ask questions. Does this even work?
Half the time. I just get a black screen.
What does this say? You may rely on it. Well, you know what? Fuck you, eight ball. I'm not going to rely on you. I don't like
don't
when people
tell me what to rely on, eight ball. Yeah. You don't know me. So, I have found myself in an awkward position the last couple of days, mm-hmm. sexually. No, it wasn't. I just don't know why I said position.
I can't relate.
No awkward, only hot sex, right?
No, there's like awkward. I mean, wait, you go. Are you serious right now, or are you just trying to get me to talk about my sex life?
Yeah, I did.
Because I was allowed.
I have the absolute opposite of a sex story to tell, which is that for whatever reason, I generally like to hold doors for people, but I've been holding the door for somebody who's way too far away. You know, like they're like 30 yards away and I hold the door and then I realize like I should just walk away. But then where we make eye contact.
I'm really excited how this turned. Like, how does this become sexual? I'm just trying to
figure. Doesn't.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought this was a sex story. Yeah. I
made
how
awkward
is this
eye contact
in?
With the girl. And in that 30 yards, she was like, let's do it.
And you're like, God damn it. It's my girlfriend again.
Why do I keep doing this with her?
It's funny you should mention holding doors because last night when I was having sex, mm-hmm. I was like a dude was the dude I was having sex with. Mm-hmm. Not another one. He was like, have you ever had sex in an elevator? And I was like, what, dude? No. Why would you do that? I was like, why would you have sex in an elevator?
What did he say?
He's like, just so you can say you did it. I'm like, no, I would never want to say... I would never be proud to say I had sex in an elevator. He's like, yeah, he's like, it's just, you know, it's the thrill of having to like finish before the next floor. I'm like, that's like 10 seconds. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's no thrill in that. I mean,
no,
that'd be the quickest. I don't know. I don't follow this. Do you think he has done this then?
He told me he has had sex in an elevator.
Did you say where? Which elevator?
No, I didn't ask
that. Not
that
it didn't really deserve a follow-up question.
That's a very valid question because it's like, was this in a mall where there was like high traffic or was this in your apartment building at 3 a.m. where no one's around?
Right.
You know?
The context is
what were the stakes?
Was it a clear elevator, like the glass elevator if you're going to the Arclight or something where everyone could just see into the elevator? I don't know.
Yeah, dude. I didn't ask that. That's a very good. See, this is why you're the host and I'm the guest because you have all the right questions.
Oh, I ask the hard hitting questions. What elevator was the sex in, sir?
You're like, I want to get to the details of this story. So, yeah, no, I didn't ask that. And then I was having sex with a black dude last night, and
was this the same guy or a different guy?
It's the same. Yeah, no, okay. I have had sex with multiple people one day, but last night was just one, okay. And for a long time, and scheduling conflicts, and so he's a black guy, and he asked me, have you ever done slave master? Which I feel like when a black person asks a white person that, it's like a test to be like, all right, how racist are you?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, dude, who would do that? You know, I was like, it's so stupid. I would never do that. And then I was like, I'm going to one up this because of, you know, the current climate, political climate. Sure. I was like, I would only do slave master if the black guy can be the master and I, the white person, can be the slave.
Nice.
And he's like, what? How does that work? I'm like, it's funny you should ask. The year is 1855. Tyrone is the only slave master in Alabama. My father, a poor white man.
Created a whole backstory.
I was literally in the middle of sex explaining this, like last night. I'm not kidding. This is like true story. I was like, it was like 5 a.m. I was like, my father, a poor white man, had to sell me into slavery so that he could buy a New Balance because he just got done burning all of his Nikes. And then... but the guy was like, what? Because this is the first time we've ever had sex.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah. And then he started laughing. And then he's like, well, how does that work? And I was like, well, he's like, how does this sex happen? And I was like, well, you're mad at me. I've been a bad girl because I fucked up the chicken. And I was like, I'm sorry, master. I don't know how to season too good. And then he was like, bro, you're crazy. So that's my sex story from last
night. Wow. Sounds like an eventful night.
Yeah, dude. I like to make dudes laugh when we're having sex. Here's the thing. If a dude can stay hard the entire time I'm talking, I feel like you're a keeper.
That's a good dick.
Yeah, good dick, dude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When was the last time somebody, have you had anybody, any limp dicks?
Yeah, actually. Like,
is that like the most disappointing thing in the world?
Well, the last time I had a limp, the last time I had a limp dick was in the fall. Basically what happened, I was hanging out with this guy and he's an AA and he had to wake up early to go to an AA meeting the next morning.
Okay.
And he's like, I have to be up early. And I was like, no, I like forced him to have sex with me.
Okay.
I was like, you're coming upstairs right now. And he's like, I can't, I have to be up early. I'm tired. And I was like, no, I don't give a shit. And then this is like 1 a.m. He's like, okay. And he came up and then like halfway through, he's like, I can't. He felt guilty. That was the last time I had a limp dick.
Damn.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I was like, I didn't say anything.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. I like it when a guy walks out like shamed. Yeah. I'm a very abusive person. Like ask any dude I've dated.
Yeah.
Any dude I've dated. Most of the guys I've dated have had like side hoes.
Mm.
Like have cheated on me, but it's not because of the sex. It's because like they need someone to tell them they're like special.
Right.
To tell them that like they do stuff well.
Yeah, just a comforting presence.
Yeah, that's what they do. They're like literally like, I just liked her because she told me I was good at something. And I'm like, she's lying. Yeah, dude, I'm a cunt, dude. But well, whatever.
Self-aware, I guess, right?
Super self-aware.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. No, dude, it's funny because I just started talking about this on stage like a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And because people, when I say I'm like, because I just got out of a 3-year relationship like a month and a half ago.
Okay.
And he had a side hoe. And people were like, I don't understand. That makes no sense. Like, you're pretty, you're smart, you're successful, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, dude, it's because when I date a guy, I find everything that's wrong with him and I remind him of it every day. Like every fucking day.
Now,
dude.
Is this a choice or subconsciously?
I don't know. I just do it.
You just do it.
I mean, I say it out loud.
Okay. Well, I guess that's a choice. Yeah.
So, yeah, I could choose not to. No, but there's something in me that like forces me to do it. I can't keep it to myself. Like in the beginning, it's like less, it's not as offensive. I'm like, you look dehydrated. You should drink more water. And then it like after, you know, a while, then I'm like, you need a new job. You need a new car. You need a new attitude. I love
so in the honeymoon phase, it's lighter things that maybe said in a sexy way.
I'm like, you look like you need a multivitamin. And then like
your skin's breaking out. You should do something about it.
Yeah. One time I dated this dude. He was like super successful. Like so successful. Very smart. He was actually honestly like, I was like, I want to marry this guy. He's like perfect. We have very similar kind of personalities and, but he's fat and I've never dated a fat guy ever once. And I was like, all right, fine. Project. It's a project, you know? And I was like, within a week, I was like planning dates at the doctor's office to get him lipo. Like I told him, I'm like, we're getting you lipo. And he's a billionaire. And so he was like in his 30s. He's like, I don't need that. Like girls like me. And I'm like, yeah, they want you for your money.
Right.
I want them to want you for something deeper, like your physical appearance, you know? And he just would not have it. And I mean, we're friends. He'll like send me photos of like these girls in his bed. He's like, tonight. And it's like two chicks to like try to make me jealous that he gets to like fuck more girls than me or whatever. I'm like, well, whatever, dude. He just got lipo though. I'm like, ah, look who's coming around.
Yeah.
Fucking lipo your face, motherfucker. Yeah. I try to fix everybody, dude.
Mm. What was the problem in the most recent one?
Look, I tried to fix your podcast right when I got here. I was true. Fucking give me headphones.
Right.
Check the levels.
Yep. That's good. You just demand excellence, right?
Yeah.
In every aspect of your life.
Yeah, unfortunately. The poor people, dude. The poor people in my life. I feel like everyone in my life is like afraid of me.
Yeah.
Everybody. Yeah. Just like all my friends. Everybody that's in my life, that's like, everyone's afraid. Oh, it's fine. I don't give a shit.
Do you like it?
I don't get off on it. I am indifferent. Yeah. It means nothing to me. The only thing that's important to me is like doing things well and like, excellence basically.
Yeah. Have you always been that way?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was born this way. I was born a G, dude. I came out that pussy popping bottles and no, not popping bottles. That's like so douchey. Popping people. I was a born killer. You know what I mean?
Right. I right out of the way. You're like talking to the doctor.
Yeah. I was like
methods.
Telling the, oh, you know what? I think it's funny you should say that. I just realized that maybe it's because my fucking goddamn doctor, when I was born, my doctor fucked up when I was born. So like he, when I was being born, dumbass doctor grabbed my head and tried to turn my body with my head while I was like in the vagina. So it fucked up my neck. Yeah, dude. I was jaded when I was born. You know what I mean? Now I'm just out here trying to tell people what to do. I blame it on that guy. I don't even know his name. He's responsible for so many people crying in this world because of me being an abusive person.
Was that like his technique? I wonder if he did that with all the babies. Just twist your butt, like a Cabbage Patch doll, just twisting your head around.
Dude.
I question these methods.
Yeah, most of these doctors are not smart. People pretend like they're smart. No, they're just regurgitating information. Oh, yeah. Quiet for plane. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Quiet for sound. Quiet on set.
No, I totally agree, though, because I had colon cancer runs in my family. Oh. And so I had most of my large intestine taken out when I was 13. So,
like preemptively?
Yeah. Well, like the polyps is what they call them on the walling of my intestine was like, if we don't take this out now, it's going to become cancer.
Polyps?
Yeah. So it's even a gross name. It's an appropriate name, I think.
Or yeah.
It should elicit that reaction, I think.
Yeah, yo, get the polyps out of my fucking body.
Mm-hmm.
Polyps.
Right?
Ew.
Terrible pulps. Name.
It sounds like pulp.
It does, which I also don't like.
Yeah, no, fuck pulp, dude.
No. Like, so, as a result of this, I would have like a colonoscopy once a year as a kid.
Wow, and you're not gay. That's
no,
crazy.
I know. That would have been the, you know, it's like, I don't mind this.
Do you feel, your asshole's been getting fingered since you were like fucking 6 years old.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's affected you at all?
Purely medically, but not sexually.
Do you feel like you're a beta male?
You've cut to the core of me. Yeah.
I think I figured out why you're a beta male.
Yeah. But I had a doctor during one of these procedures. Somehow he pinched a nerve in my leg while I was receiving a colonoscopy. I don't know how that happened.
Receiving a colonoscopy. Oh my God, dude. Oh man. Now I feel bad for making fun of your apartment. You've gone through too much.
It's been tough.
Does your girlfriend... we're not going to talk about it.
What?
No, I was like, does your girlfriend like peg you?
Every third...
Every third of Thursday of the month.
Every third of the month. Yeah. Yeah, you know, we got a system that works for us.
I've never pegged a guy.
Neither
I've never... I. No. I'm bisexual. I've fucked chicks with strap-ons, but... Mm-hmm. I've never pegged a dude. Yeah. Huh. I don't think I would be... I always tell the guy, I'm like, I'm going to fuck you in the ass. And they're like, no. But they say it like, no, bitch. They like lay down the law and I like that. I'm like, yeah, okay, choke me. and then I'll choke you back. Huh. Yeah, I've never pegged a dude, man. This is turning into like a Brian Redband dysentery podcast.
Yeah. Well, that's
I've never even done dysentery. Redband's asked me so many times, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I have anything to talk about. And I'm like, no, I have so much to talk about. I would crush that podcast.
I think you could manage. Yeah.
All right, host.
So speaking of, to think of a good natural segue from pegging to your mother.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Joe sent me an email and was like, what I liked about this podcast is they screened me before. You sent me an email and you were like, send me interesting stories if you have any, and then we'll see if one of them works. And I was like, bruh, I'm fucked up. Where do I begin? All right. I felt like I was like turning in like some like weird like mental disorder like essay. Like it was like the SATs, but for like people with like bipolar disorder. I'm like, all right, well, my father never said he loved me. My mom has schizophrenia. Where do I begin? One time I left my boyfriend for the head of the Russian mafia in Thailand. That was fun.
Yeah, all of those sounded fantastic and very interesting.
Yeah, dude, my mom... it's weird because... So my mom has schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. It was... I don't know if it's a dormant gene or if it was activated. She basically, when she was college, she did like a ton of acid one time, and then it either A, just gave her schizophrenia, or an activated some dormant schizophrenic gene. And so she's had it since she was 19. Are you vaping? What are you vaping? Is that nicotine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
What does that say about me?
I'm not going to go. Nerd. Listen, you've gone through enough. I don't need to abuse you too. I'm trying to like, you know what I mean? I had sex for 3 hours last night. I should be able to like at least go like a day without like being a cunt to somebody. anyway. My mom is schizophrenia. Oh, locked up. So my mom was locked up like half of my life. So she was like 6 months out of a year. For my whole childhood, she was locked up. So she would go to the ward. They would adjust her medication. Then she would come out and like she'd be good for like a week. And then after like a week or 2 weeks, she would like forget to take one of her pills. And then that would like have a snowball effect. And she wouldn't take more pills. And then in like a couple, every week it was like I was constantly like figuring out like, okay, do I have to like commit you again? And I was doing this at like seven. Like at 7 years old, I was like being like, do I need to put my mom in the hospital? And I was the oldest, so I was kind of like in charge. My dad worked all the time and he wasn't really at home. So I basically raised my family.
How many siblings do you have?
Three siblings. Okay. I started like cooking our dinner at seven. Like I was like 6, 7 years old, like making food on a stove, like cooking for my family.
What was your signature dish?
Soup. I've been crushing the soup game since I was seven.
Word.
Yeah, word, bruh.
That sounds pretty heavy though. The soup.
Yeah. yeah. Soup was fucking heavy, dude.
But so that was at seven. Okay.
Yeah, seven, dude.
When would you know that you need to report her?
Reporter?
Yeah.
She would start like, my mom would smoke. And to this day, I'm like super sensitive to nicotine. Like I have like a Pavlovian response to like cigarette smoke. She would start smoking in the house and like chain smoking, like cigarette. She would just sit in a chair. First, she would start drinking like coffee. And then I was like, okay, that's like the first sign when she starts drinking a lot of coffee. Then she would start like chain smoking. She would sit in the living room in like a chair and there would just be like cigarettes all over. I lived in like a hoarder house. So like there'd be like cigarettes all over the floor, like burn holes in the carpet. And she would just sit in the chair and just smoke nonstop. Like she would sleep until like 2 p.m. And my dad was never there. So I was like taking care of my family. And then she would wake up and just smoke and then go to sleep. And, I would like change my like, cause I had three younger siblings. So I would change like their diapers and like put them to bed and like, you know, make sure they would go to school. And, so when she started like smoking a lot, then that was like, she started going downhill. Then the problem is like with mental illness, which is like an issue with a kind of like our healthcare system. When people start exhibiting signs of mental illness, they can't really be committed because they're not extreme enough. Like even it happens in suicide. Like my father tried to commit suicide on my birthday last year. And when he was committed, they were like, oh, he's not that bad. You know what I mean? We're like, we have emails from him where he's like, I'm killing myself. And we're like, okay. And the doctor's like, well, he doesn't seem that bad.
This was after he tried to kill himself?
Yeah, he sent us emails and was like, you know, I don't want to live anymore. I'm done, blah, blah, blah. And I'm in LA and he's in Minnesota. And so I was like, you know, calling the police and trying to find him. And we had all this stuff, all these emails from him and like went to the doctor and they were like, he said he's fine. The problem with mental illness is that doctors listen to the patient over like the people in their lives. So like my dad he's a lawyer. He's very smart. He's very manipulative. He's like one of my best friends. He's the reason why I did stand up because he's really funny. Like when my mom would start becoming sick and go to the hospital, he would make all these jokes and make it funny. Like every time she would get locked up, he like would make all these schizophrenic jokes and somehow all this like fucked up shit happening in her life, he would make it funny. And, he's a comedian. That's why he tried to commit suicide. Cause he's a real comic. I don't know.
All comics are depressed and sad.
I'm like, Dad, you're a real comedian. no. So so with mental illness and as a problem, basically the doctors will listen to the patient. So my mom, when she gets sick, when she starts getting sick, she's still cognizant enough to tell the doctors, I'm fine, everything's fine. it's okay. Mm-hmm. And so the police or whatever, they won't take her, right? They'll be like, no, she's fine. They won't even listen to us, even though she has like a history of being locked up like 60 times. Like, apparently we still don't know what we're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
They listen to her. Then that's like this, you know, second stage of like her having a mental breakdown. And then the third stage is when she starts like, you know, saying like Obama stealing our mail, or, you know, like, she'll think the government's like in the house, or that there's like demons. One time I had a nightmare. She tried to give me her antipsychotic medication. Mm-hmm. I was like 7. She tried to force it down my throat. She was like, you're going to take this. I'm like, I just had a nightmare. She's like, no, here's my medication. Oh, so then she starts like seeing demons. Like, she'll start thinking that like someone's like drawing, you know, in like Harry Potter, where they like, I don't know if you've seen Harry Potter, yeah, but where like I am, will not lie. Like, they're cutting in your skin. My mm-hmm. mom will think that people are drawing like in her, like cutting her. Mm-hmm. And she'll tell us, but then the doctors, like, we'll call the doctors and they'll be like, she seems fine, 'cause she can still pretend. So the police have to come like 3 times. And then she gets to a point where she's so fucked up where even the cops are like, yeah.
Okay.
She's so bad where there's not even like a 5% in her brain that can like pretend like she's okay. Mm-hmm. She's so far gone. But meanwhile, like, I've been living with her for 3 weeks while she's being insane. Like, she'll like attack us. Like, she'll just like think like I'm like trying to do something to her, or she's been running around saying like demons, or, you know what I mean? She'll like she'll start speeding. Like, she'll like take one of my siblings and like get in the car and just drive like 100 miles an hour. Like, she's been arrested so many times.
Yeah.
So it's like, for me, it's like really like trying to protect everybody and make sure they're not, you know, they don't get hurt. But so then she gets so bad that then they take her and she goes into the ward, and then she's in the ward for a couple months. But that has been like the cycle of my childhood since I was like born.
So how often, you know, I don't know if percentage wise, like, how often is she functioning and okay? Was it like 50-50 or
never? No, really, she's functioning like 20% of the time.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. 20% of the time.
And that's basically been the case since she was in college.
Yeah. My mom proposed to my father in the mental ward. Like, my dad wasn't in the ward. They were dating, and then she was locked up. Mm-hmm. Like, she went into the ward. She had like a mental breakdown. They met in college, and, my mom had a mental breakdown. She was in the ward, and she told my father when he was visiting her, she's like, I need to get married. Do you want to get married or not? And then my dad was like, sure. And so, yeah, basically the problem is that when she had kids, every right. kid she had, it got worse, because it's so much stress on the body, and it does stuff to the hormones. And I've like spent so much time researching just like mental health and hormones and like vitamins and, she, you know, even like her diet, like gluten and dairy exacerbate symptoms of schizophrenia. A lot of people don't know that. No. Any inflammatory food exacerbates bipolar disorder, schizophrenia. And so, yeah, this has got so like unfunny. I'm like, I love how when I get serious, it's like, there's nothing funny about it. So anyway, so 20% of the time. But it was cool. A couple, like 3-4 years ago, I was working at HBO. My day job is in like TV. My background was in TV development. Now I'm doing stand up full time, but mm-hmm. I was at HBO, and I just started working there. It was like my dream job, working in development. And my mom was like so far gone, like so sick. My father was over taking care of her, so he just would leave. He was like living at another house basically. And, so my family just like neglected her basically. And she was so sick that she was the worst I've ever seen her. She just decided to fly to LA without asking me. And she was arrested at the airport. The cops like arrested her 'cause she was like insane in the airport. And then they called me and they're like, hey, we have your mom. She's in custody. She's locked up in jail there's like a jail next to the airport or something. And I didn't even know she was in LA, and I was like just starting. It was like in the middle of the week of of starting my job at HBO. Oh. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm coming. So I drove to LAX. Basically why she got arrested. She was sitting in the airport bathroom and washed her hands for like 5 hours. Mm. And someone was like, that's weird. And then, you know, I don't even know I don't even know how she got on a plane.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
I don't even know how she's like got through. through it. But yeah, no, she just sat there and was washing her hands for like hours.
So they arrested her for wasting water.
Yeah, exactly. It was a drought in 2012.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess.
Basically, dude, that's funny. So yeah, so like she got arrested. I went up and picked her up at the airport jail. Mm. And I was Airbnb-ing a room in this, because I'd broken up with my boyfriend like 6 months ago, and it was the first guy I'd ever lived with. He like wanted to get married and he like forced me to move in. And it was, you know, he thought that would fix our relationship, just made it worse. And so we broke up, and I was Airbnb-ing a room in this apartment. And so my mom like came, I don't even know where she, somehow she stayed. I put her in my bedroom. I was Airbnb-ing this room, starting this job. It was like the fucking worst timing. Ugh. And I was like, I'm going to see if I can get you like a good doctor. And so while I was at HBO during my like day job thing, I was calling hospitals, and I was able to get in touch with the head of psychiatry at UCLA College, who's also the head of psych hospital there. He has a 10-year waiting list. Anyway, I called him and like got on the phone. I was able to get on the phone with a nurse, and she passed on the case to him, and he took my mom on as like a case study. And, when I was driving her to the hospital, she jumped out of the car when I was driving like 30 miles an hour, cause she didn't want to go. And then I don't even know how I got her. Somehow I got her to the hospital. Anyway, so they put her on this this shot that is kind of like not standard. Typically, it's not typically covered by health insurance. Mm-hmm. But it's a shot, which is great for people with diseases because it lasts for a month.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, a lot of like psychiatric breakdown just have to do with someone forgetting to take a pill, you know, especially like my mom was taking at the time like 7 medications. So it's like you forget one, and then it's just like, it's like a fucked up cocktail of, you know, a mess. And so, so she went to this hospital. They put her in the ward. She was locked up for like a month, and, they were like so amazing. Like they were asking me what I thought instead of her. You know what I mean? It's like, finally someone like gets it.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe ask the people around her who aren't fucking mentally ill. Like, what the fuck's going on? You know what I mean?
Imagine
For some reason in Minnesota, like all of the hospitals have like a patient policy where it's like only the patient's opinion matters. Anyway. So like, yeah, like when my dad tried to commit suicide in October, my little brother, who's like 18, who's like fucking basically his mental illness now from just like the abuse, it's very hard to like mentally survive in that environment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I can't imagine.
My father is like very like emotionally abusive, and my mom doesn't have emotions. It's very hard to like emotionally survive. And my brother like couldn't really handle it. So he's kind of like a little bit fucked up. He like lives in the basement. Anyway, my dad was making my brother plan his suicide.
Ugh.
Like making him like research ways to kill himself. So my brother was like, my father was making my brother plan my father's suicide. Yeah. Like having him pick out a place for him to kill himself, like having him pick out ways to do it, having like planning days. Yeah. And my brother like even told this to the hospital, and they were like, he's fine. Yeah, they let my father go after he was locked up. I'm like, this is like insane. My brother, I have emails from my dad. My brother literally just told, I mean, he had, and it's so sad, dude. I'm like, I want to rescue. I got everyone out of that house. Like all my siblings, my sister lives with me. I had my youngest brother move to my grandparents' house, but this middle one who's like 21 now, like I was visiting Minnesota over the 4th of July, and I went into his bedroom, and he has like a whiteboard in his bedroom, and he has like writing, and it was like, what did he say? Something like, am I evil for making someone who wants to die live? Like he's like writing questions to himself about like basically feeling bad that I saved my dad from killing himself. He feels like he's evil for doing it.
Man.
Yeah, dude, it's aggressive.
I had buy underwear on my driver's board for the last month and a half.
Yeah. But anyway, we haven't made it good times yet. I'm like, I need to make it funny.
No.
My dad's better at making funny than me.
Well, I mean, you know, this isn't particularly.
Yeah, this is morbid as
hilarious, fun. But I mean, it's really, interesting.
Yeah. So I know. People tell me, like, because so I don't talk about my mom's schizophrenia on stage, really.
Yeah.
And the couple comics I've talked to about it, like, that are, like, really successful are like, dude, you need to talk about it. But I don't think I've gotten to a place where I can, like, look at it in a way where it's funny.
Well, yet. Because, yeah, there probably isn't enough hindsight. I mean, you know, it's still actively happening.
Yeah. Right? No, for sure.
Mean, it's one thing if it was, like, something that happened when you're a kid, but it's like still ongoing.
It's still ongoing. Yeah.
So,
well, when my dad was planning his suicide, and I was almost sure he was going to do it on my birthday, because it was like, right. Because he kind of like, he's like, I was his firstborn. He was really mad that I was a girl because he hates women. And so, and he would tell me, like, you know, women are evil. Like, you shouldn't be friends with women. Like, guys are better. So he like raised me as a dude. And, so part of me thought maybe he was like trying to kill himself on my birthday out of like spite or something.
In what but ways?
Just because like,
oh, sorry.
Cause I'm like a girl and like, you know, he was mad that I'm a girl.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And like, I call him out on his stuff. Like, I'm like, dude, I see what you do. You know what I mean? Like, and I love him. I do. I love him. And he's like one of my biggest fans. He watches all my stuff all the time. Like, he like stalks me on like everything. He won't talk to me sometimes. Like, I haven't talked to him in 6 months, but my friends are like, or my family's like, dude, he watches you like every day. Like, he watches your stand up. He, like, when I was a regular on Kill Tony, he would watch like every episode and like, you know, whatever. But he'll probably somehow find this. He finds everything I do. I don't even know how he does it. He probably will listen to this, whatever, dude. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, I love him, dude. He just, I don't know, he's gone through a lot, you know? He's had to deal with my mom and like.
Well, I was wondering, like, when they got married, I mean, do you think it's he just had no idea what he was signing up for as far as, you know, how bad your mom, I mean, I guess he had no idea how bad it was going to get, but
yeah.
Did he kind of, cause it sounds like he sort of just checked out when you were growing up.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see if there's something funny about my mom's schizophrenia.
Okay.
Let's like try. One time my mom put our cat in the dryer and he died and, oh, that's not funny. It's just sad.
let's see.
His name was,
I'm just trying to think. How can we,
it's
a funny joke about a cat in a dryer. It's a wet cat. Wet.
That's the driest that pussy's ever been. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Aggressive.
Yeah.
So dude, it was so annoying. Cause like, the cat died. It was like, I love that cat. I tried to resuscitate it. Well, cause like we didn't know. We just heard the dryer and there was like a thumping, like thump, thump, thump. Mm. And we're like, and my mom was like, I'm drying shoes. And we're like, oh, okay. Cause shoes do sound kind of thumpy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're like, what? And then we went in cause it just sounded so aggressive. And the fucking cat was in the dryer, dude. I don't think she didn't do it on purpose. Just somehow she didn't notice that it jumped in the dryer. I don't really know. You know, she was like probably fucked up. It was like in the transition period of the cops being like, she's fine. And she wasn't fine.
Yeah.
So the cat, and I was so sad, dude. I was so fucking sad. The next day at school, I've learned to compartmentalize my life. That's part of the reason why I think I've been successful just like in the entertainment. When I moved to inner LA, people were like, isn't it so traumatic? I'm like, literally, no. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I've been like,
you just aren't going to let it.
No, it's just like, I was like, dude, my fucking childhood was like so much more fucked up than my parents were more fucked up than 95% of the people I've talked to in LA. You know what I mean? Like, to me, this is like, this is like fucking, like, you know, a piece of cake.
Yeah.
This is a piece of cheesecake. yeah, dude.
Oh, so, when they would say, isn't this traumatic, like about their own lives?
Like in LA, like thinking, LA is so hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's, people are so crazy. And I'm like, dude, at least they're not throwing fucking cats in the dryer. You know what
right.
I mean?
It could be a lot worse.
Yeah. So the cat, you know, died. Next day at school, I was like, oh my God, I was telling this girl, we were standing in line at like the library. And I was like, oh my God. And like the cat went in the dryer and I died. And these kids in my line heard it. This was like in fifth grade or something or third grade. And they're like, oh my God, you killed your cat. And they said it was me. And then like for like all of elementary school, I was like an animal killer.
Oh.
I'm like, everyone's like, oh my God. And I was like, I would walk down the hallway. They're like, oh, the animal murderer is here. And I was like, it wasn't even me. And like, and people would like make jokes like, oh, like keep your animals away. So I was like the animal murderer all of elementary school and then junior high, part of junior high. Yeah. I don't know. So maybe I can make that funny someday too. I'm still mad about it. And now these motherfuckers follow me on Instagram and like try to talk to me because I have like some like level of like success.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, what's up? Literally the dudes who like used to fucking like used to bully me when I was younger, mm-hmm. like now try to like hit me up and fuck me. And I'm like, dude, I'm out of your league. Like, don't talk to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like course. You're like a six.
Right.
With a beer belly and you're like 26. You know what I mean? Like you're in your mid 20s and you work at Applebee's, like go away. It makes me so happy. I shouldn't have negative energy, because then that's going to come back to me and I'll probably like bomb on a show at the Comedy Store this week or something.
But
it's negative energy going back to them. That's exactly. What I'm saying. Wow, this got so sad. You're wasn't supposed to be forward. Happy. This is supposed to be happy. Fuck, I fucked up.
So throughout, despite all of this, you ended up being what, Miss Minnesota or something?
Oh, because I sent you that. I was like, how the fuck did you know that, dude? Ugh.
Buried. Yep.
Dude, buried as fuck. Oh, okay. On a lighter note, this is just going to be this. This episode, this will be the end of me. I never can run for president because I've done too many podcasts. I've done like three, but I've said too much.
Oh, it's going to be a shit show in like 15 years with the people running for office. It's
oh, yeah. Just how? There's too much information.
Right. But too then much. Again, yeah, I think like it's just going to be a clean slate and it's not going to matter what.
No one's going to give a fuck anymore. I can't wait till this PC thing like goes away. Right. I think eventually it's going to people are going to. I don't know what's going to happen.
I think people
knows?
Will just realize that we're all shitty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, all right. Dude, so they said this on Twitter.
You know, I was watching Ali Wong at the store last night or two nights ago. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how, you know, when guys cheat on their wives, everyone's like, oh, well, you know, like to the women, what'd you expect? He's so successful. Like he's done so much. Like, what do you, of course he's going to cheat on you. Then like she mentioned Meg Ryan, when Meg Ryan cheated on her dude, it like ruined her career. Like when a woman cheats on her husband, it ruins their career. And Ali Wong was like, she's like, that's why I'm telling you right now that I'm a piece of shit. So when I cheat on my husband, y'all better shut the fuck up or something like that. It was so funny. I was like, oh, dude, it was so real. And like, I was like, yes, I love her so much. Like her and Bill Burr are my favorite comedians right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just are like unapologetically themselves.
Right. Yeah. They're not going to apologize for anything.
And that's what we want. I think everyone in this world of social media and like, constructed perfection, we're so enamored by people who are just unapologetically themselves, like mm-hmm. Yeah, these are my fucked up things and this is what I do.
Look at our president.
Yeah,
the fact that none of that burned him, people are like, well, that's just who he is,
because people know people aren't perfect, dude.
Yeah,
that's why Hillary Clinton, it made people uncomfortable. We're like, we know you're not perfect,
right?
And when someone acts like they're completely perfect, then the fucked up things about them, you can imagine whatever they want. So right. now you eat babies and, you know, whatever people think she does.
Right. Exactly.
To be fair, I mean, every person who has, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, exactly. Like everyone's like, she's killed every person who's ever spoken against her. I'm like, I'm next. I haven't even spoken out against her, but I'm like, I get so nervous because in my head, I'm like, she probably does. Like some article, some person was investigating her and Clinton died again last week. Like some like perfectly in their 30s investigator got murdered or something in their hotel.
Really?
Yeah. Every person who ever investigates them dies. It's like, if you look it up, it's like 30 people. Every single one dies within a month. It's so scary.
Should your dad ask your brother to plan his suicide again, your brother should just tell him to start investigating Hillary Clinton. And then...
Oh, good idea. Hey, Dad. So that's funny because my dad actually owns like a private investigation company.
Yeah. There you go.
But they do like collections.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
for like people with student loan debt.
Just a backup.
Yeah. That's a good backup. You should start looking into Hillary Clinton. Dude, I think it's so crazy. People are so heated, dude. But that's true. Trump is like so himself, doesn't give a fuck. And everybody wants to be that. Everybody is so desperate to just be themselves.
Right.
I can't wait to watch. I saw Elon Musk was on Joe Rogan yesterday. Yeah, did you watch it?
Talking about that. I haven't
fuck,
seen
it. Dude. I cannot. I'm watching it right after this.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. He's my crush. I have such a crush on him. Elon Musk. I was on a date at this restaurant and the Tower Bar. And Dimitri, who is like this really famous like maitre d' in Los Angeles, he's been a maitre d' for like 20 years. It's a host, basically. It's like a glamorous host.
Sure.
And he's like the gatekeeper of the Tower Bar. And he comes over to our table. He's like, I'm so sorry. He's like Italian. He's like, or I don't even know what he is, something ethnic. He's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I need this table back in 20 minutes for Elon Musk. I'm like, bitch, I'm staying. I'm fucking. Tell his date and my date to go to the table next to us. I'm fucking staying. I have such a crush on Elon Musk, dude. I don't care. He's like 45 years old. I love space. I'm such a science nerd. Yeah. I started taking college chemistry when I was like 15. Yeah. Like a freak. I'm just like mathematics and like science, dude. I was like a genius. I suck at spelling. I can't spell. Just like, if you saw my emails, you'd be like, this bitch did not finish elementary school. But that math, though.
I like to pretend that there's like a man inside of my laptop who's the spell check guy who just like throws his arms. He's like, what the fuck, man? This is not even close to a word.
Dude,
because sometimes Google is on top of that shit. Google has become my new spell check because I'll just copy and paste. They're like, did you mean?
Yeah.
Like, yes. Yes, I did.
Dude, thank God for technology.
Yeah.
All these people think we're smarter than we really are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't spell a damn thing.
You too. Are you good at anything? Are you good at
no.
math?
No.
So when are you good at?
It's really a miracle that I'm
other
still
than
alive.
Taking in the butthole. What are you good at?
Yes, I'm good at that.
Other than relaxing your sphincter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about it. No, I've had writing gigs and I'm just like, man, if they saw the first draft of this, they would be so worried. Be like, why are we paying this guy?
That's
he is illiterate.
So funny, dude. Holy shit.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully they aren't listening. Well, they liked the final product. So.
I don't think they care.
Yeah.
Does anyone really ever care? Dude, my ex was an English major.
Yeah.
And, I just got out of, he was an English major from like, he went to Morehead, which is like Black Harvard or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was like so like pretentious about his spelling. And I'm like, you don't have a job and you play Pokemon Go every day. Like, fuck off, dude. No, I love him still. God damn it. I do.
It's hard.
It's so hard, dude. Breakups are so hard.
Yeah.
I suck at being single. I've been in back-to-back relationships since I was 13. My first boyfriend, I was 13. He was 13. It's so fucked up. I broke up with him because he was going to Russia to volunteer with orphans. That doesn't even sound like a real story. I don't even know how it's like a thing.
As a 13-year-old?
Yeah. And I was like, you don't have time for us. Yeah. I'm not kidding. Like,
you need to change your priorities.
Yeah, 100. That's see, cunt. I was born a cunt, dude. Like, who does that? Now I'm a little more adult. And I'm like, okay, you know, he's spending summer break. But dude, when you're 13, those 3 months are important. You know what I mean?
That's like the best 3 months of the year.
Yeah. And I'm like, you're going to volunteer with orphans?
Lame.
In Russia? Ugh.
Why don't you just take care of me for 3 months?
Yeah. I was like, I'm fucking now an orphan emotionally.
Right.
What about my needs? Yeah, I broke up with him. I'm like, I just don't feel like you have what it takes for this relationship. I was 13 years old, dude. What the fuck, dude? Who does that? Now, at the time, it was completely normal. We haven't even had sex. He was just finger banging me in my mom's van. And I was like, this relationship is going nowhere. Holy shit, dude. Who am I? I'm insane. I'm literally insane. I am insane. I'm fucking crazy. Oh my God.
I mean, you know,
I guess that'd be
a possibility, right? Like,
given my parents, I'm probably pretty normal.
Is there like tests or anything that can be done for that?
Every boyfriend I've had is like, so when are you out of the schizophrenia danger zone?
Yeah. How does that conversation usually go? Is it?
No, I'm out. It's like 20, 25 or something. Or 27. Fuck, I turned 27 in October. All right, we'll see if I make it. I got a month left to see if I'm in the danger zone.
God,
maybe this is the podcast that just ignited it.
Yeah, what if
she was normal before then?
Before your birthday, it kicks in.
Just fun. Do not rely on the 8-ball. You're like, damn it, dude.
Did that kind of freak you out though? Like, or has it before? Like,
yeah, that's why I don't really do drugs or drink or anything.
Yeah,
because I don't do psychedelics. I'm afraid it's going to activate some psycho gene. I don't eat gluten and dairy because that exacerbates symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, of course I'm afraid.
Of course. So this may be the pretty obvious question, but did your dad telling jokes and all that stuff lead to you eventually wanting to do comedy?
Yeah.
Like, as a way to sort of escape all the shit that you've described?
100%.
Okay. I mean,
100%.
Yeah.
I didn't even know stand-up existed until I was like 21.
Yeah.
Yeah. My family isn't really into like pop culture. I didn't have TV really growing up.
Mm.
And Yeah. My dad was so funny. He's less funny now because his life is like worn on him, but he's still, no, he's kind of, dude, like we would go, my dad, we would, we would go to like rest. He's so offensive. His comedy is so offensive. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that. Like he just doesn't give a fuck. Like we would go to restaurants and like the, at like Perkins and like the waitress would come up and be like, are there any allergies? And my dad's like, poverty. He'd say that to a waitress. I'm not kidding. I was like, holy shit, dude. Just getting away with so much shit. Just white dudes. Right. Just out here getting away with stuff. White sure. privilege. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, dude, just poverty. And all I was like, and then my dad, we would go to like dinner, like 101. I was like, I don't know, like 10. Mm. And my dad would say, like in front of the waitress to try to make me embarrassed. He's like, so what does your father think about us dating? Like he would like say stuff to try to like make me uncomfortable. Like he doesn't even hug me. He's like someone, I had a job interview like a couple weeks ago to work. Cause I'm thinking about going back into like film producing and at the studio. And the guy interviewing me was like, this guy is like a crazy movie producer, like so eccentric. He was like, did your father ever rape you? Like he asked me that like in the interview, like day one. I'm like, who asked? He's like, did your father molest you? I'm like, no, my dad's never said I love you and you won't even hug me. So no, like right. he has the exact opposite problem. Like right. so not intimate. He has intimacy issues. You know what I mean? That's just why apparently with my mom. But I was like, no. So my dad would say like, he would be like, what does your father think about us dating? And he would do it around so the tables could hear us. And I would get embarrassed. I'm like, no, dad, you're my dad. Stop, dad. Like he would like always try to like, make me feel, I mean, it was funny, dude. He's dope. Yeah. He would say all these funny things. He'd be so, oh, you know what? He's a lawyer. One time I went and he was in court suing this, like, this mom. Yeah. With, like, kids.
I don't know any context. They're just some mom.
Some mom that can't pay her bills and, like, living. Anyway, he's in court. I kid you not. In trial, dude. This judge. This woman was like super fat and she was like, I can't feed my children if I pay these bills or something. And my dad literally said in the courtroom, he's like, you can't feed your children. Why don't you just cut off your left butt cheek? He said that in a court.
Order.
And the judge took him to lunch afterward because he was like, that's funny, dude. He did that. Like, in real life, not in a movie.
Yeah, this wasn't a
that's my dad.
Sitcom.
I got kind of sad when he wanted to kill himself in October because I was like, man, you're kind of cool, you know? I want him to see me like be super successful. So he's like proud of me or something.
Yeah, that's he's a reasonable like, hope.
Yeah.
Expectation.
Yeah. He'll tell me like when I'm not doing well, he's like, he'll literally be serious. He's like, you're not my child. He'll be like, you're someone else's child. He'll like, and completely serious. He'll be like, you're this guy's child. Cause my mom is kind of like horny or something. Like when I'm not doing well,
yeah.
He'll disown me. He's like, I don't want anything. I don't ever want to talk to you. So I like, part of me is like, I have like that inner, like weird, you know, those like dudes that like become like billionaires. Cause their father like never was proud of them. I have, like that weird thing with him. I'm like, I'm going to make you proud someday. Mm-hmm. And, so I got sad cause I was like, fuck dude, he's going to kill me before I like sell out Madison Square Garden. Yeah. I just wanted to live till like then you can kill yourself. No, I want him to live. I don't know how I feel about it. It is kind of fucked up. You know what? It is. I understand my brother's like idea. Like it is kind of fucked up making someone live that doesn't want to live anymore. You know what I mean? That's selfish of us.
Right.
Like if you have someone who's like, I don't want to live anymore. And everyone around is like, well, we want you to live. Okay. Well, who are you doing that for? You or him? Right. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Is it fair?
Right.
It's not really fair. It's not fair at all. I don't know, dude. Wow. This got weird.
Bro. Yeah.
My ex was like, you need to go to therapy. And I was like, I'm fine. And then I talk like this. I'm like, maybe I do. No, it's fine.
Have you ever gone to therapy?
Yeah, when I was younger.
Yeah.
When I was like 19, 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's weird because people rely too much on therapists. They're just a person. You know what I
mean?
I
was talking about this with somebody else where it's like a lot of, I mean, like that can sort of open it up, but you have to do so much work on your own.
Yeah.
And people don't want to do that.
I'm like, no, but I feel like I went to a therapist that made me worse. Because I'm like, dude, you're just a person. And this, I'm kind of like an egotistical person. I'm like, I'm smarter than you. I know that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't sound smart because I kind of like pretend like I'm not. But, you know, I was like, my IQ is significantly higher than yours. And I'm like, I'm listening to you tell me how to live my life. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're like some like, you're a psychologist, which is fine. You went to school and blah, 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 blah. But it doesn't equate to being someone who knows how to like live a life. Just because I went to college and got a psych degree and now I work in an office doesn't mean you all of a sudden are like the guru of existence.
It's totally different life experiences.
Yeah. Like, and so people put too much stock. Right. Like, oh, I should listen to what everything that the person has to say. No, I listen to like Elon Musk. I listen to like people. To me, I like to talk to people who are like really successful. Like there's people I know who are very successful at relationships and are successful at like, you know, finance. And they're like, I'll talk to you about that because you have proven track record. I don't know the this psychologist give me relationship advice. I don't know. They might have been single their whole life.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have no idea.
I'm sure there's at least one psychologist out there who's a serial killer. There's at least one. I saw Dexter. There was there was a psychologist episode.
And if it happened on Dexter.
Yeah, it's probably happening. There's right now. I'm 100%. There's zero doubt in my mind that right now, as we're talking, there is a psychologist giving a patient advice who is a serial killer.
Where do you think it's happening?
I don't know. Probably in like Iowa or something. No, it's probably in like a city. It's probably like in like New York.
Probably.
Like Gotham. It's probably in Gotham. Is Gotham? It's not a city, but it is to me. It is to me. I watched Batman a couple of days ago.
So, I mean, you were kind of the parent of the house at like 7, is what you said. So, I mean, what did that, as you got older, how hard was it to juggle basically parenting your siblings and then also doing homework and all that stuff? Like, how were you a decent student or anything? Or were you able to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I crushed.
Yeah.
Well, when I was younger, my mom, no one like did my homework. You know, I didn't have someone to help me. I didn't have like the parent who like helped me do my homework. So my mom didn't want the responsibilities of doing my homework. So she tried to put me in special education so that they would like do my homework for me. And so I was in like special ed in like second and third grade or something. And then when they started doing standardized testing for like math and, you know, Bush had those standardized, No Child Left Behind standardized testing. Mm-hmm. I tested in the top 1% of like everything. And so they took me out, especially my mom got mad. She's like, no, she needs to be in there to do her homework. And they're like, she's literally in top 1%. Like she's testing the top 1%. She can't be in special education.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My mom got so upset. And so she, in fourth grade, I got entered into like a mathematics program. I got put into like algebra in fourth grade. And
so one extreme to the other.
Yeah. One extreme. Special I went from like special ed to being in like in this advanced algebra program.
AP in fifth grade.
Basically, dude. Yeah. 100. And so my mom got mad and it was weird because when I was younger, I didn't have a mom, right? So I had like my clothes were super gross and my hair was, my mom would cut my bangs. Like my schizophrenic mom would like cut my fucked up. I had like my bangs looked schizophrenic. You know what I mean? They were just like all over the place. Like, yo, choose a side, like choose a personality. Like they had my hair had a multiple personality disorder. And, and like my shoes would be gross. I had no style.
You're just one of the little rascals.
I looked like, I looked like a little Asian boy anyway. And so I was so tall. I was this height when I was like 9. I was 5'8" when I was 9. Oh. So I was the tallest person in elementary school.
Yeah.
Like taller than any boy. All the boys came with my hips. And I remember this guy, his name's Sam Northrup. And he moved from one school to our school.
Yeah.
And he was 6 feet tall. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to get married. I was so happy. I was he's the one. And I was like in love with him. And he was so like beautiful. Every girl had a crush on him. But I was so ugly that like he didn't notice me. It's so cliche. It's like such a cliche, stupid movie. Anyway, so when we were in math class, because he was in advanced math as well. I was like, we're destined. And our teacher was like, hey, can you help him with his math? And I was like, my moment's come. Like, this finally. I was like, let's go. I'm going to help you. Fucking
say help
shit.
Or help.
Yeah. It was like when the, I don't remember what these things are called anymore, but it was when it was like a little scale and you had like chess pieces to like, I don't even know what it's called anymore. It's like how they taught algebra in fourth grade. There was like, little, you like put this and then you'd put that over there. And it's like for, equal is whatever. I obviously don't tutor math anymore. I was smarter when I was in fourth grade than I am now. I
feel like that's the case for all of us. Yeah. So much of what we learned, you instantly forget
about. You don't use it anymore.
No.
When I was walking, and I was at the LA County Fair a couple days ago, and I was walking, and I took like, I don't know if you remember this, but like Pythagorean theorem, like A squared plus B squared equals C squared. C, so when you're walking and if you're walking, like let's say you want to get to over here, right? Mm-hmm. And you're right here. It's shorter to go at a diagonal than to go like on the A and the B.
Right.
So I was literally walking through the parking lot at like 9 p.m. And I was like, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. I'm taking the hypotenuse. I'm like, I'm going to take the hypotenuse to my destination. I'm like, oh my God, like that's literally the only use I have for this. It's like amuse myself while I'm walking in a parking lot. I'm going to take the hypotenuse today. Cause I'm smart. And I was like doing math and I was like, it's 3 inches. I don't know. So stupid, dude. But so I was so in love with Sam Northrup, dude. I was so in love. I was like, we're gonna get married. And he wouldn't even look at me. And I was so like undesirable and like nerdy now. And because I had no friends. So I just like paid attention during school because no one would talk to me because my mom's schizophrenia. I was like shunned in my town. You know what I mean? I wasn't allowed to have friends. I wasn't allowed to have people come over because my house was like a hoarder's house and social services was always on the brink of taking us into putting us into orphanages or whatever. And
how close did that get?
All the time.
Yeah.
Literally like neighbors would call and then my mom would like make us clean the house and then social service would come and the house looked fine. But then within a couple weeks, like there was like food on the floor and like cat shit. And it was just disgusting. Like I go back now and it's horrendous. Like it's so gross. It's like those TV shows, the Hoarder's House.
Is she still in the same house that you grew up in?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All of their house. My dad's like that too. Mm-hmm. And they have multiple. It's like weird. Like they have multiple houses. Like they're successful, but they live disgusting. Mm-hmm. Like they have mansions, but not. Yeah, basically. They have mansions, but they're like hoarder mansions where there's like cat shit and like food on the floor. It's so weird. Yeah.
So does child services, like, do they give the parents a heads up that they're coming? Yeah. How would they? Because that seems to defeat the whole purpose.
I know. I don't know how it works. I just know that for some reason, we were always able to evade it. Because my mom would tell us, she's like, if they come, they're going to break up the children. And so my mom would like convince us to like clean it up everything really fast because she told us that if they came, we were never going to see our siblings again. She's like, you'll never see your brothers and sisters again. And my sister, we started like getting like sad and we're like, oh no. And then we like cleaned up the house really fast. We're like, everything's fine. I love my sister or my brothers.
Yeah. I'll clean up the shit if it means like we get to stay together.
I literally as a kid thought that if they took us, I would never see my sister again. And she was like my best friend. So I was like so sad.
I mean, that's actually, it was pretty smart of your mom, I guess.
She's very threatening you
like
that.
Because I was going to ask if you were ever like, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean,
it was awful.
Do you remember, like, I don't know if it was a specific moment, but do you remember when you realized, like, oh, this is not what everyone else has?
Yeah. I remember, let's see, second grade, and one of my friends, she had a sleepover for her birthday party. Mm-hmm. We were watching, this was when, Pirates of the Caribbean just came out, the first one, mm-hmm. and we were all obsessed with Keira Knightley.
Oh, yeah.
And like, me too. This is a foul drink. Just complete scoundrel. We were all doing that. We were like 9. And I remember going to her house and it was clean. And I was like, is your house like this all the time? Like I'd never seen like a clean house before.
Yeah.
It was like so abnormal to me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is your house is always like this. Like it's always clean. Now I'm OCD clean. Like if you went to my place, it looks like no one lives there. It looks like a hotel.
Yeah.
Like if there's a piece of clothing on the floor, I'm like, I freak out. I'm like, I'm like the exact opposite. I'm cleaning all the time. I vacuum like every 2 days. I'm always like dusting.
Are your siblings that way too?
No. Just
so I feel like I can go one of two ways.
Yeah. My sister who I live with is fucking disgusting. She just gave up. She like, I'm always cleaning her shit, but yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went to their house. I was like, oh my God, your house is so clean. Like how do you live like this? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's super fucking weird, dude. Oh, you know, I was going to finish my story. Oh yeah. 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 About Sam Northrup. Yes. My love. My love, who I've never kissed. Whatever, it's fine. Yeah, no, I'm too good for him. but at the time, he was like my everything. Mm. I don't even think he knew my name. And so I was helping with his math homework, and I was like, finally, I'm next to him. And he like didn't even like give a fuck about me. And I remember thinking, I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to get married. No boy will ever want to marry me. I was like 10. I was like, no guy's ever going to want to marry me. I'm not pretty enough. And I'm going to have to work really hard in school because no guy's going to buy me a house. Yeah. So that's why I became so smart. And like, I graduated top of my class early. Mm. I graduated a year early. Mm. I was like going to go to, I wanted to go to like Harvard and like work like Wall Street and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I was in National Honor Society. Like I volunteered for like three organizations, like a week, like Big Brothers, Big Sister. I was like a fucking, it was so, I had like such a cliche, not like Ivy League resume of like, I volunteer for the Humane Society and the Science Museum and like Big Brothers, right. Sisters and the Make-A-Wish Foundation and National Honor Society debate. I was like such a all AP classes. Yeah.
So what happened?
So I,
school-wise.
I fucked up on my ACT. Mm. Yeah. I got like a 27, which is fine, but I was so cocky, but cause at that point I was so focused in school and I had a photographic memory. So, I would read a textbook and I would remember everything to the point where when I took tests, teachers hated me. Cause when I took tests, if I got an answer wrong, I assumed it was the test key's fault. The test was wrong. And 90% of the time I was right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be like, no, kids like will get so annoyed because we would be going through the test because, you know, do you remember like in class we'd all go through the test together, mm-hmm. like all we'd grade each other's tests, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And we would be going through the test and then like we get to like answer number 13 and she's like, it's C, and then I'd be like, I'd raise my hand and then all the kids are like, here we go. I'm like, no, it's actually A, because if you open on page like 245 paragraph 2, it says this, and like 80% of the time I could get the test key changed. So they would like change the test answers.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a freak, dude.
Yeah.
People would get so annoyed. And I was young. So I was like, when I was like 15, when I was a freshman, I was in the juniors honors class. So I was like a 15-year-old with juniors in their class being like, change the answer. All these juniors are like, bro, here's this freshman telling us the answers are wrong. Yeah. I was a freak, dude. So smart. I was dope as fuck. I'm less smart now. I got into a car accident. I dropped like almost 20 IQ points.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I had a really bad traumatic brain injury. But, and so anyway, so my, so I was like, I'm a genius. And, my ACT, I didn't study. And my dad, his mom was a teacher. My dad got a perfect on his ACT. He got like a 36 and all of his brothers got 36s.
Wow.
Yeah. And my dad's like, I never studied. Like he, you know, my dad's so smart. And my mom got, you know, she went to a top college too. And I was like, I'm genetically blessed. And so I was like, I don't need to study either. Because I felt ashamed that I'd had to study because my dad didn't have to study.
Right.
And, but the problem was, what I know now is that I, all elementary school, I was in special ed and my mom didn't help me. I didn't know basics. So I didn't know really spelling. All those years until fifth grade, I didn't really learn. I didn't learn sentence structure or spelling. So when I took the ACT, I did really bad in the English portion and I did excellent, amazing in the math, right. and the science, but like reading comprehension and English and spelling, I did really bad. And so I got a 27, which for Ivy League schools, you need like a 30. Mm-hmm. And, so and it was annoying cause I'd already went to Wharton and like did my interview there. Cause for Wharton, when you do undergrad, you have to go and interview at the school. I passed the interview and like had a great resume and I maybe could have still gotten in with my ACT score, but I was so insecure about being rejected that I stopped all my applications. And I was like, okay, well I'm graduating a year early. So I'll just take this year off and study the ACT and mm-hmm. get a great score.
Yeah.
Because if I can learn how to make sentences, it's fine.
Yeah.
And what happened was that when I graduated, like a week after So I had this year of studying. I went from like living this life. I run 1,000 miles an hour. Like if you know people like in comedy that know me, like while most people are getting up like 3 to 5 times a week, I get up 3 to 5 times a night. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like a workaholic, and when I was a regular on Kill Tony, I was only 3 months into stand up. Mm. I didn't even want to be a regular on Kill Tony. Like Tony and Redman asked me, and I was like, dude, I'm brand new. I don't know if I can do this. And they're like, you'll be fine. And, you know, it's weird because Malcolm Hatch is the regular now, and he's 3 years into stand up when he was made a regular. I'm like, I see the difference. Like someone who's 3 years and knows their voice versus someone who's 3 months and like, I have no idea who I fucking am. Right. And I was like, so like nervous of saying the wrong thing. And I'm so enamored by his sort of ability to just let go. He doesn't even write. He doesn't even plan his minutes. I would like write my minute a week before and do it like three to four, five mics a night after my job.
Yeah.
I had to start up. I was getting up at 5 a.m. We were launching in Asia. I would get up at 5 a.m. to do calls with like China and Japan. And then I would go to my day job at like 8, 9, work till 7. And then I would go do 3 mics and then go to bed at 1. And that was my life of Kill Tony. When I was on Kill Tony, people were like, why are you so low energy? I'm like, I literally sleep 3 hours a night for a year. And I'm so enamored by Malcolm because like he like decide his minute right before he goes on stage. He told me, he's like, I'll literally like be back there. And I'm like, I'm going to talk about this. I'm just now getting to the point in my stand up where I can do that, where I can do a show and I'm like, I'm just going to go up and be myself.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it takes time to like get to that level of confidence and, you know, swagger almost, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, but it makes sense.
So like I live my life like that, where it's like the more stuff I have to do, the better. Mm. And when it's kind of quiet, I start going in like kind of crazy. So when I graduated high school, I went from like, you know, having all these extra classes and volunteering, and I was on the debate team, and I was Minnesota team. I had all this of like my life. My schedule was like da 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 da. Then I graduated. I had a week, and I had like I was like, what? I freaked out of not doing anything, and studying for the SAT or ACT wasn't enough mental stimulation for me. Mm-hmm. It was like very boring. And my dad wanted me to. He wanted me to take over his company. And so he had me work there for a week. And
what's his company?
He does debt collections.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But I worked there and it was like very poorly ran. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, 17 years old.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is not the way this company needs to be ran. There was no systems. I'm very like systematic. There were a lot of errors in management. And I just told him, I was like, I can't work at a company that's ran like this. And I don't have enough experience to tell you how you should run it. So this isn't going to work out. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't working. And like within a week, I was like, I need to do something. I can't just like sit around for a year. And I had won film scholarships from Miss Minnesota Teen USA. And so one of them is to the New York Film Academy, and they have locations all over the U.S. I called them. I was like, hey, when's your next thing? Because if it was in Australia, I would go. I don't care. It's like a scholarship. It's free. I don't, you know. And they're like, oh, it's in LA. It's in 4 days. I was like, okay, I'll come. So I literally just went upstairs. I called them and I went upstairs, told my parents. I was like, hey, I'm going to LA for a month for this film scholarship just to do something because I need something to do. And then I'll come back and I'll finish the ACT and da 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 da. So that day I packed my stuff and got in my car and drove across the country. I literally drove into LA. I got into Burbank and I was like, oh, I don't even have a place to live. I like drove into school. I drove into class.
Right.
And then I like did the class and I was like, oh, I need an apartment. And
do they not provide any housing?
They do. They don't provide it, but there's an apartment building kind of like, they're like, oh, there's an apartment building across the street at what was it called? Oh, it's like such a place that everyone goes and stays when they first move here. It's in Burbank. It's right by NBC.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember it.
Is it the one that they made the documentary about?
Barham.
Yeah.
Yeah, that place.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I stayed there and it's like, all these like actors and like people all like stay there when they first move because it's furnished.
Mm-hmm.
And
what?
I can't remember the name. It's like some hacky thing. Yeah. And so I stayed there and then I was doing this class. That's where they were like, I was in acting and I had no affinity towards acting or anything. I was like, I thought it was so much better. I was like, I'm going to become president. I don't have time for fucking this bullshit, you know?
To cry.
Yeah. But then I realized I didn't have access to my emotions. I was so emotionally stunted.
Yeah. Out of necessity, I would imagine.
Just, I was completely emotionally cut off. Mm-hmm. And it was part of the reason why I couldn't connect with people, because I was completely disconnected from all of my feelings. And, you know, like my acting teacher was like, what do you think about death? And I was like, I don't care. And he's like, that's abnormal. Like, you should have some kind of feeling towards it. So then in that class, I was like, oh, I need to figure out this emotion stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like this is going to be something that's important. I knew at that moment that I had to figure out that in my life. Otherwise I would be fucked up, you know? And so I was doing this class thing. And then within 2 weeks of living in LA, I got cast in America's Next Top Model. I got scouted.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got scouted for America's Next Top Model and I didn't want to do it. And then I called my dad and my dad was like, you should do it. And then I did it and it was, you know, whatever. And so I did that. I finished the class.
Show?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I mean,
it was a whole other.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, because they were scouting pageant people. So I won Miss Minnesota Music, but it was as a joke. I did it as a joke. I didn't even want to be a pageant. I loved Miss Congeniality as a kid.
Yeah.
It was like my one favorite movies.
Sure.
So I did it as like, I was like, oh, that'd be funny. I'm going to be Miss Congeniality.
Right.
I'm going to be like Sandra Bullock and make fun of all these people.
Right.
Then I fucking won.
You were ironic before it was.
I won, dude. And I was like, literally when I got crowned, you see my face and I'm like, no.
This isn't.
No, give it to her. It was a thing. All the pageant people got mad. They're like, you watched the video of her being crowned. She's not even happy because I didn't want it. I was like, no. It's supposed to be her. You're fucking up the movie.
Yeah. She spent her life working to this.
Yeah. I was like, don't give it to me, dude. Don't give it to me.
This is a joke.
Yeah. I was like, no. And I got so in my head because there was these like pageant boards and all these people were like, she doesn't even want it, blah, 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 which is true. And then, I was 16. I was a sophomore in high school. I'm trying to get into Harvard and I'm like doing all this, you know, bullshit, like volunteering and everything. I was on the debate team and speech as well. And the pageant people, when I won, were like, you need to do all this stuff now. And I'm like, I don't want to do this stuff. I don't want to do this stuff. No, they make you like do like appearances. Like you have to run. It was the worst. They put like the crown thing on your head and a sash, and then they make you like run around and like I hated it so much. They make you go to like people are like dying of cancer and you have to like run around and just like pretend. They're like, be peppy today. Like you can't be like have any authentic emotion. I'm like, dude, these kids are like 5 and they have cancer. Yeah. Like just be peppy. Don't have any, don't be sad. I'm like, so they would make me go to these like things and I have to wear this stupid fucking outfit with a stupid fucking crown. And I have to go to these like situations where people are like dying and pretend like everything's fine. And I'm like, it's not fucking fine. And, so they got mad cause I was like, you know, whatever. And then also I had tournaments on the weekend, which is like, I gave a shit about that, you know?
Yes.
So they're like, you have to cancel that and do these things. And I'm like, I'm not doing those things. I'm doing my tournaments. I'm trying to get into Harvard. Like, sorry, I have priorities.
Right.
So then I secretly, technically my crown got taken away like 3 months into me being a title holder. It wasn't announced. It wasn't like on the news.
No, they weren't.
It was just cause I was like, hard to work with or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You just actually had priorities.
Yeah, dude. I was like, no, I'm like trying to do stuff, dude. I want to be president. I don't give a shit about this. So they got mad. So my crown got taken away technically. So when I went to Miss Teen USA, cause I still had to go to Miss Teen USA, which was fine. It was like a free vacation in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to place top 15. Nobody knows this. They literally told me, they're like, you're technically not a title holder, so you can't place top 15, but you still have to do prelims. So I had to do the pageant, the prelim pageant, and like prance around, even though I knew it was impossible for me to get top 15 because I wasn't technically a title holder.
Did you just have fun with it then?
Yeah. I was like, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, dude, I didn't give a fuck. It was like, yeah, like everyone was like waiting to be called. I was like, I know I'm not, you know what I mean? Just hanging up there, dude. Free vacation. It was fun. My whole family went and my boyfriend at the time. It was Bahamas or dope. It was at the Atlantis Resort. It was so fun. It was awesome. So fun. And it was kind of cool knowing I wasn't going to win. Going in there, I was like, no pressure.
Yeah, you know what
I
mean? Exactly.
Just doing the prelims. I'm not even getting on TV. I can literally look however I want.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I won. Yeah, that's what the... How did we talk about the pageant thing? Oh, so Top Model was scouting pageant people.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw I was the title holder person. And So they casted me in the show and they basically, they didn't know that I'm not a pageant person. So they casted me as a pageant person with this pageant personality. And then I was like, that's not me, dude. So during filming, they're like, hey, you need to turn up the personality. And in my head, I'm like, I'm funny. And so I was like trying to make jokes. They're like, no, we want you to be like a bitch. And I'm like, that's not me, wow. dude. They're trying to make me be something I'm not.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not me. That's not who I am. I'm not really a pageant person. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I got miscast.
Yeah.
And so they try to shove you in a box. When they cast right. you as like the next person, they cast you as that, then you have to be that. So they told me that like while we were filming, they're like, if you're not this, we're going to cut you from the show. And I was like, that's fine. I don't fucking care.
Right.
Like you scouted me. But, yeah. You know what I mean? I wasn't asking for this. So what's crazy though, is that, so they cut me from after the first episode. But the first episode, they still managed to cut me like a cunty pageant person. They're able to like slice stuff together. Because like in the interviews, if you watch the episode, you'll see. So like I come off, it's like insane. I mean, to be fair, I am kind of cunty. So like my DNA is still kind of, it is kind of true. But like they ask you questions. What they do, and it's funny because I worked in reality TV later in development. So I know how it works. Mm-hmm. What they do is they ask you questions and then you just say the question and the answer. So they'll be like, were you a stuck up bitch in high school? And then I'm like, was I a stuck up bitch in high school? Right. I was a stuck up bitch in high school. So then they cut out, I was a stuck up bitch in high school, because they have to repeat the question.
Right.
And then they exactly. take that and then you all of a sudden said that.
Right.
It's like, obviously I wasn't. I was fucking bullied and had no friends.
Right.
I wasn't the hot, privileged, stuck up. But the show cut me as like this like super privileged pageant, delusional, like haven't had any adversity in my life.
Right.
Cunt.
Right.
And that's what I was on. They cut me. So anyway, so top model.
What season was that?
Oh, it was so annoying because like I didn't know that they did that. And yeah. so when the episode came, all my friends were like, you know, they're like, you're going to be America's sweetheart. You know what I mean? And we're watching the episode. We're like, what the fuck is going on, dude? Where is this train going? Everyone was watching like, oh my God, Vanessa, did you say that? I was like, no, I didn't say that. I don't even know how they got. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, dude. And then all these people hated me. People hated me. Just everyone was hating me, dude. I've had so many like situations where people are so mad. When I was on Kill Tony, people were mad because they're like, she's just got it. She's pretty, which is probably true. You know, I mean, who knows? No, I actually, to be fair, when they made me a regular in Kill Tony, Red Band saw me on a show. I was only like a couple months into stand up, and because I was a debate person, right. I was like naturally charismatic.
Yeah.
And I had a very good set.
Yeah.
Like one of the best sets of the night. And Red Band's like, how long have you been doing comedy? A couple years? And I was like, no, 3 months. And they're like, we're making you a regular in Kill Tony. And I was like, dude, I don't think it's me.
Right.
I don't know if I'm like a one-liner comic. I'm like, I don't even know who I am. Is it stand-up, you know? And they're like, well, it's fine. You're new. Everyone knows that. I'm like, literally no one knows that. No one cares.
Right. Yeah.
But so, yeah, when I was on Top Model, all these people were like, she's a bitch. I'm like, bruh.
Did they write you out?
Huh?
Did they write you out, quote
they just,
unquote?
They just I got cut.
Yeah.
The first episode.
Okay.
Like, you're not making it past. They make you seem. They made me do like little like walks, mm-hmm. like in a fashion show, and then I didn't get approved or something. I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
Oh, she didn't make the cut this week. I'm like, whatever. You know. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But so then that happened. Top Model, and then I was gonna go back to LA, but then I got scouted for How I Met Your Mother, so I got. Put in that as like a guest star thing. And then I became SAG and I had an agent in 6 months. So I like didn't even mean to do this.
Yeah.
I didn't even mean to be here. I'm supposed to be president, right? Oh, I'm not supposed to be president yet. I'm supposed to be like at Wall Street making millions of dollars, crushing the game.
But instead you're crushing the comedy game.
Yeah. No, I'm doing stand up. Well, that's what I love about stand up is like, cause I still feel like I'm still working on like connecting emotionally with people and understanding mm-hmm. kind of like normal people.
Right.
Like not normal people, but like, understanding normalities because my life was so like abnormal. So a lot of it is like me just discovering, okay, what do I have in common with like most people?
Sure.
Because I felt like an alien. You know what I mean?
Right. Because because of all your childhood stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, just growing up that way.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, you said your mom was out of it like 80% of the time. Like, what was she like the 20% of the time?
She's a really good person, dude. Yeah. Makes me sad. Oh, fuck, dude. I don't want to cry. No, she's super compassionate. She's a very compassionate person. Like, she could never be mean to anybody. She loves everyone. She, like, we'll go like, out to like the grocery store and she'll like just see someone who is kind of sad and she'll try to make them happy. Yeah, she's like, she has so much compassion and empathy. And both my parents were opera singers in college, so she's a really good singer. So she would like sing, she like make songs, and like she like every kid, like when she's good, like when I was a kid, she like made a song with my name on it, would sing it to me. Oh yeah, dude, she's like a Disney princess. It's so sad. She's so beautiful. Oh fuck, I'm gonna cry. God damn it. No, but no. Oh, don't grab a tissue. That makes it worse. I have paper towels. We'll do it like the ghetto way. No.
Yeah, there we go.
No, she's like a Disney princess, dude. She's so beautiful and like, yeah, it makes me so sad. Like she could. Yeah, she's dope, dude. Fuck. Yeah, she's fucking. She's really, and she's kind of funny too. She's kind of silly. She was visiting because now she's. Now she's like 50% better because of the shot. She still has like lulls, but the shot made her way more. She has less like breakdowns now. And she was visiting me. She's obsessed with like Tony Robbins right now. She like something like fucking I had to block her on all my social media because she was tagging me in these like dumb things. These dumb fucking things, dude. She thinks, what's that fucking loser that, let me look him up. His stupid fucking name.
Oh, the man. Author.
No, he's a. It makes me so annoyed. Mom, here, the what? Oh, here it is. Ty Lopez. She thinks he's a billionaire. She's like, she gets like his emails and she thinks like it's him personally emailing her. She's like, Ty Lopez invited me to LA to an LA party tomorrow. He's a billionaire. And I'm like, no, he's not. Like, stop. She made me so mad. She like tags me in all these like motivational like memes. And I was like, it's just made me so annoyed. Because those people prey on people like my mom, who are kind of like mentally not all there. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Tony Robbins, all those people, they like somehow convince them to spend like $5,000 to like solve their lives, and it's like no, it's go not. You know what I mean? It's like kind of like fucked up to me, so I get mad like seeing it. So I blocked her on everything. But she was visiting me in LA like a couple years ago, and my sister and I were getting sushi with her, and she was like, well, she was like in a good place and she was having so much fun. She was like, you know, normal and happy. And we went to the sushi restaurant. She's obsessed with avocado, like loves avocado so much. She never had sushi before. And, so we got a giant thing of wasabi and we told her that it was avocado. She's like, oh, avocado. She got all excited. She took the whole thing. It was like, dude, if you don't know what wasabi is, it's like so spicy, but it's green. It looks like avocado.
Yeah.
It looks like mashed up avocado. She took like, dude, like a quarter cup. Like it was so much wasabi. Like I don't even know how I've never seen this much wasabi on a table because it's just like a tiny little thing.
Yeah.
Dude, it was like a saucer of wasabi and she took the whole thing, dude, with a fork and she was eating it and she was like, she started like her eyes watered. She's like, I don't think this is avocado. Aw, she's so cute, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that
we found something positive. Look at you. You did it.
My last question was going to be, are there moments that were good that you're able to hold on to as like, you know, it sounds like maybe her singing to you or just, you know, little moments that have sort of lasted throughout, you know, or overcame all the awful stuff.
I mean, that's definitely like a funny one. I mean, I'd say like there's like moments where everyone, it's like the planets aligning, like all the mental illnesses in my family, where everyone for some reason is like okay.
Yeah.
And we're like at dinner. Where everyone's like emotionally all right, everyone's sane. And when everyone's sane in my family and everyone's like an emotionally an okay place and, you know, not suicidal, it's fucking really fun. Yeah, like my family's dope, dude. Everyone's really funny. Like all my siblings are so funny. Like my youngest brother, he just went to college right now. He's so funny. And like my mom's kind of like naive and my dad's kind of like a roasty guy, like a roast comic. And yeah, we've had like vacations where it was like the perfect day. And then the next day, someone has to go into a mental ward. But like for those like 6 hours, I was like, okay, that was like dope, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Fuck, dude. Joe, you got me to tear, man. I don't, you know, I work so hard to get feelings, like taking all these dumb acting classes. And then when it happens, I'm like, you fucking pussy. Man. Yeah.
Cool. You're no pussy.
I mean,
just a person, you know, with feelings.
Yeah. Delete the crying part out. No, I don't care. You guys can keep everything in. I don't give a fuck. this is real. We're authentic. I'm trying to be Ellie Wong. No. Dope. I have to pee so bad.
Yeah, I think we can. I mean, we can wrap it up here.
Ketamine? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty incredible that you've been able to turn all of that into comedy. Not necessarily finding the humor in that, but I think the things that happens, I think being moving at 100 miles an hour and all that stuff, I imagine part of that was probably just having a desire to be out of the house when you were in school, maybe.
Yeah.
And find, being able to find a positive in that situation that has now benefited you. And as far as work ethic and all that kind of stuff goes, maybe that's a reach.
No,
I don't know.
You're 100% right.
Okay.
100.
But, I mean, I think it's, like I said, I feel like anybody who grows up in that type of situation, you can kind of go one of two ways. And mm-hmm. I think you kind of went the overcome route, and it takes a really strong individual to do that. So
thanks, Joe.
I really appreciate you coming over and being so open and honest about all this. And
you're so strong for getting over being violated, your butthole, every month.
Over again.
We did it, man. We got through it.
Yeah, we both had struggles, right? I'd say it's on par. Similar stories. But real quick, where can people find you on social media and all that stuff?
You can find me on Instagram at Vanessa V. Johnston, on Twitter at Vanessa Johnstew. And then I just started running a new weekly show at the Parlor in West Hollywood on Thursdays at 9 p.m. We've had a lot of dope comics. Last week we had Eric Griffin and Jamie Kennedy.
Nice.
Red Band, Tripoli. Yeah, it's going to be dope. It's fun every Thursday at 9 p.m. after Thursday Night Football. Meow.
That's a good doubleheader. Football and comedy. Well, yeah, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.
That was the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again to Vanessa for coming on and being so open about some pretty heavy stuff. It's really, as I said, it's a testament to her that she was able to take all those experiences and ultimately, I guess, make a positive out of it, as far as her work ethic goes and just being able to plow ahead. So you can follow her on Instagram at Vanessa V. Johnston. That's Johnston, not Johnson. There's a T in there. But she was great, and I'm home. The court was simple. I waited in a line, and I paid $25. So not very exciting. But I'm home now, and hopefully I don't have to go to court anytime soon. So that is the episode. Feel free to email me at badtimesgoodstoriespodcast@gmail.com. Go to badtimesgoodstoriespod.com to listen to past episodes. And remember, you can watch episodes on YouTube by going to youtube.com/thejoeflanders. That's all for this week. Until next Wednesday, keep laughing.